And welcome back to Immunize Wisely. And we had a great first hour. And this is Dr. Dean Lloyd. I'm sitting in for Ingrid Castle. And I'm very pleased to bring back my guest, Sam Cannell. He's a Shilajit expert. And we're talking about the topic of oxygen today. And one of the ways that we can enhance our utilization of oxygen is by using the resin that comes from the earth in the form of the Shilajit. And I just wanted to make mention that before we went to break, I was thinking of all the people that could use this. And you, of course, talked about being an athlete, and I, of course, am athletic, and I enjoy, obviously, it takes energy to make energy. And if I could just touch on the activity side for just a moment, when we as doctors are seeing patients, there was a conference I went to back in 2005, and we had a question that was brought up in one of the seminars, and what was the most difficult thing to get patients to do? And the bulk of the doctors said, get people to exercise. We can have them take their medications, we can have them, you know, follow dietary regimens. Often we run into problems with compliance, but at the top of the list, when I'm talking about having problems with compliance, exercise tends to be the number one as far as not being able to exercise enough. Now, there are people that are in a compromised place that cannot exercise. Okay? And with oxygen levels, they have to be monitored very carefully. But when you were talking about how you wanted to maximize your performance, you're also talking about operating at a higher level, and that you increase the capacity for the lung to take in the gas, take in the air. Okay, lung capacity increases. So here we are. If we're exercising, that function naturally, because the demand you put on body, you have to acclimate to your environment. Right, just like I was saying in the beginning of the show, if I was at sea level, I would have a different way of breathing in matter of not necessarily my deep breath. There would be more air; it wouldn't be as hard to take in the air because there's more of it. But when I go to higher altitudes, I'm huffing and puffing more. Right, I'm taking deeper breaths. You know, to get it. Get that oxygen that your body requires to generate energy, to get ATP production up, mitochondrial function to go working. All of those things that we know we need to do. So, what I wanted to just elaborate on a little bit was people are dealing with health conditions, and when I was seeing people who were going on the ventilators because I was working in the Los Angeles area for almost 4 years. I was going back and forth, and I had a project that I was working on there. But what happened was, as I was seeing people go on ventilators and they weren't getting better, and I realized that this was not a respiratory disease, but a blood disease.
Right.
And because of that, one of the ways of causing the body to break down so quickly was by this oxygen metabolism I'm speaking of, or the inability for the body to hold on to the oxygen in the HEMA. And the bodies, if you were to take an oximeter reading on some of these people, they were in the low 80s, even in the 70s. And you can't function that way. That's death. You know, and knocking at your door, So hypoxemia. And so what you run into is so very often right now, people that come to me, and I gave a show a few weeks back on the introduction to immune support. And what I am going to be talking about in December is immune modulators in more specificity, because it requires some understanding of how the body normalizes, how the body finds equilibrium, how does it achieve homeostasis. And that's a beautiful thing, is that we have some ways of helping. For example, 24% of the effective ingredient in ginkgo biloba has been shown to increase the oxygen saturation and help the oxygen utilization. That's an herb. You can find it, but very often it's, and this is what I wanted to get to the point of the Shilajit issue, is that when we tested, I think it was something like 20 years ago, the European versions of ginkgo, I think there were 10 in the study, as I recall, and not one of them matched the 24% effective ingredient to create that environmental change of the oxygen utilization. So when we're talking about something that comes from the mountains of Colorado, not only is it an incredible story, but it's pure, and it's of the concentration and purity to make the chemical changes in the body that allow this oxygenation to occur.
Right.
Well, you know, we talked about oxygenation, we talked about hypoxia, and we also know that the lack of oxygen, hypoxia, is the root cause of almost every single dis-ease that we know of. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact. Oxygen is that important. And, you know, but what I wanted to cover a little bit with you is that one of the reasons why Shilajit became so interesting to me was that the realization that the Shilajit and CO2 regulation in the body is tremendous. Okay. We know, if you're an athlete, but you know that as CO2 is a huge part of breathing and the oxygen transfer both into the cell and the waste product coming out of the cell. Without CO2, that's not possible. It's an impossibility. And so, you know, we get kind of goofed up when we think about, you know, we heard about all the global warming and the CO2 problems and things like that. But we know as athletes, and we know in the past, for instance, and they still do it, is that when you somebody's in a Tour de France, and doing repeated efforts as hard as they do, when they go to bed at night, they either go into a tent or they put on a mask, and they have a high mixture, they have a slightly higher a mixture of oxygen than the typical air, but the CO2 rate is much higher. Mm-hmm. Because we know that CO2 is great for getting rid of acidosis and waste. Okay, and it absolutely boosts the metabolism. I mean, it's all part of the process. And where Shilajit, if you look at certain research, and you know it when you happen as a functional person, when you work out and you take Shilajit, what will happen is that you literally break down the acids in your body much quicker, and your recovery is so fast, and that's directly tied into how it regulates and balances the CO2 issue in your body.
I'm glad you brought that up, because, what we keep talking about with the oxygen utilization, it has to be properly proportioned to the carbon dioxide.
Yes.
And because your demand is higher, like you just said, the recovery time is faster when you pump the oxygen in the tent and in the carbon dioxide. So what you're doing is a kind of compression. And the hyperbaric chambers are just that. It's an oxygen compression. It uses high pressure to force oxygen into the body and all the units that have the burn victim units in the hospital that have a setup. They have these hyperbaric units there because it accelerates the healing of the dead, burned and injured tissue. The skin has been burned, and how deep it goes, the oxygen is used to reduce pain and bring about a faster healing function.
You bet. Yeah. The CO2 issue is never really talked about very well, I think. It has such an effect both on the mental clarity as well as your physical health. And that balance is so important, you know, and it's so necessary for the body. And one thing that Shilla G has been studied and proven to do is simply I'm not sure that there's a better equalizer in terms of being able to handle the CO2 issues, both as either if you're over maximal or not having enough.
Yeah, and this ties back
to the.
It goes both ways, and it goes back to Dr. Pollock and Dr. Ott when he was talking about how mineral deficiencies are at the root of these imbalances.
You bet.
Right? The body's inability to function with proper amounts of magnesium, which most of the adult population is deficient in. You know, I'm finding this out because of the diet, obviously.
Well, of course, you know, and, you know, especially the electrolytic minerals, but all minerals in general that are necessary to the body. I mean, that is what gives us currency, isn't it? Literally. Mm. You know, and we are electrical that way. And that's where I think that the Shilla G with its mineral complex within it and the high amount of quality carbon that comes with it is really unique to just about anything. I have not found anything else like it so here we are.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the oxygen environment, and this was known back in the 50s where cancer cannot live in an oxygen-rich environment. That was right. Pulitzer Peace Prize-winning research in the 50s with Dr. Warburg. And it was, that was astounding, you know, at the time to make that connection. But it seems pretty logical that if you never give the host, your body, right, the dumb animal, I oftentimes come to call it, because you got to tell the dumb animal it needs a good master, and you need to tell it what to do. All right, you can't expect that with the body needing a nutrient and you not getting it, that you're going to recover. And just like a nutrient and oxygen. In the tent, you know, in the carbon dioxide, increasing that in recovery time, you increase the nutrient so that the body could perform its function. Now, you don't want to do that forever, but under that kind of stress, you do. Okay, most of what you've experienced, though, with the athletics is one side of it, but from your historical research, what have you found Shilla G to be used for in the Himalayan mountains?
Well, you know, actually, it's if you go back to the older Indian Ayurveda writings, is that basically Shilla G is used for everything. I don't know how else to tell you that. I mean, that's basically how it comes out. You see writings on the Ayurvedic uses of for diabetes, for urinary, immune, cardiac, digestive disorders. It's not just for performance, but it's also for all kinds of different diseases. You know, for me personally, for instance, I've always been susceptible to gout. And of course, you know, you say that gout is a, you know, it's an environmental disease because you put into it what you get out. And it is true to a certain point, but there are people like me who are susceptible to it more than others who can't get rid of the uric acid. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has happened since, you know, I did two things. You know, one, I've been controlling gout for years, and one of the best things I ever did was get rid of coffee, right? Just so you know, for anybody who gets gout.
And sugar.
but it's really your blood that is going to affect your gout. And if you have, high acid in your blood, you're never going to get rid of gout, okay? And coffee's a big effect on that. And most people with gout drink way too much coffee. That's just a rule. But anyway, what Shilla G really did was, I haven't had an bout of gout for like 3 years.
Once you started?
Not even an inkling, of a beginning of gout. Okay, and frankly, I haven't really changed my lifestyle.
Did you crave coffee? Or?
No. I got rid of my coffee habit years ago because of the gout. But I still had issues with it. Gout would come up, stress, or if, I love my beer, that's a big thing for me. And I still haven't changed that habit. But since starting using Shilajit, I can tell you from my own experience that I have not had an inkling of gout. Okay, that's
See, now
one very specific thing.
that means you've balanced, because gout is, for the audience, it's a buildup of uric acid in the lower limb and in the feet, primarily. But gout is a buildup of uric acid in the system, and you get these, and it crystallizes, and it's painful. And the microcirculation's impaired, and it's hard to get rid of. So you're speaking to is a change in your pH and your body's ability to flush out the uric acid. And the way that happens is very closely, in part, you could call it one of the chief reasons why you overcome gout is because you change the oxygen metabolism.
Yes,
You
absolutely.
yes, you increase the oxygen availability, which enabled that, because everything your body eliminates has to be attached to a singulate of oxygen. Okay, your carbon dioxide.
There we go. Yes,
Now,
absolutely.
so what you're needing is what I would say, if you are wanting to detoxify, you need the, and I talk about this quite often because it's such a big issue in our culture. Is that how do you detoxify? What are the important elements? Well, we could bring in the topic of fasting. We could topic of clean water. Ingrid had my colleague and friend, Professor James McCanny, on with his whole house water filter, the MR5. We're not drinking clean, healthy, pure water. There's no purpose. I mean, the body has to have the foundation. It has to have the building blocks to be able to perform the detoxification function. And that includes what I would call clean water, clean air, obviously. And if we're polluted, if we're exposed to these toxins, how are we going to detoxify? We have to up the ante. Now, we're talking about Shilajit today, and it's so important in my life now that I've made the shift, that I've discovered that I'm now operating at a higher level and I don't need it as much. In other
Right.
words, I can take it and then I reach a point where, okay, I can take a maintenance dose now. I don't need, my body needs to go into more of a resting mode rather than a full out, exercise program. And I do go in and out of that just like I do fasting, which I do. My two big fasts are at the spring equinox and fall equinox, and it's between 3 to 10 days, depending on my schedule and how long I can do it. But that's a really important part of changing your body so that your immune system can recalibrate to its environment.
And you know what, Dean, I think that you probably started out being at a level that was more optimal health-wise than let's say the average Joe or Jane out there. Because what you'll find is that I've had people who get on Shilajit have instant feelings, especially if you have sleep apnea, it's a huge deal. I mean, this is one thing that Shilajit can just absolutely take care of reasonably quickly for you. But what I found with users is that once you get to a certain point of health, it's not about how much Shilajit you've taken. It's about how your body has reacted to being healthy again. And once you get to a certain point in health, you literally will know when you need or want more Shilajit and versus taking it every single day just as a habit. And some people, it can take you 3 to 4, 6 months to get to that point, which means that you were probably that imbalanced that it took you that long, maybe even longer. But for some people who are reasonably healthy to begin with, I mean, they can get to that point, within a month or two or less. And so it's a very reactive, and it's almost an emotional thing because you can feel it. And just about every Shilajit user will tell you that, yep, I don't need it today. Oh yeah, but you know, I'm going to take a double dose tomorrow or whatever, because they can feel it. So it's very variable that way, but it's actually very easy once you get into it.
We just got one of the listeners posted, thank you, Murr, uses of Shilajit. It reduces pitta and kapha doshas. It boosts energy levels, and it's used to cure urinary infections.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, this is again coming from the Ayurvedic description.
You bet. You know, one of the better Ayurvedic readings that I've had is that they'll tell you is that if somebody is truly ill, you cannot get back to health without Shilajit.
Isn't that funny how our culture has been so just prevented from this information? It's like you shake your head. You know, here we have to learn these things. You know, when you go through med school and you go through the whole regimen of how to be trained and think, I saw people that went in, and after they graduated, they bought the trip. They bought what was being taught them, and I never did. I realized what information had to offer, but they had so many holes in it. So much, it was Swiss cheese. It was Swiss cheese education. That's what you know. I couldn't figure out why these things weren't being in the curriculum when I had questions.
It tasted so good, but you couldn't keep it down.
Yeah, right. So I basically had to become a kind of maverick of sorts. And this put me in a position where I met some fascinating and very just well-educated people. But I visited doctors that were at different clinics, like Dr. Rowan in California, who does ozone therapy, Ronald Rowan, and you might have heard of him. Dr. Onglay in Mexico was doing ozone therapy. I got multiple people that were doing. So I, early in my early career, I was wanting to learn from these other doctors doing oxygen therapies. And when Ed McCabe's book came out, and I did put that, by the way, making a plug for Ingrid's Immunize Wisely Chat and Go website, okay? It's Immunize, if you don't know the website, it's IMMUNIZEWIZELY, so that's wisely with a Z, dot chat and go, chat and go, ChatAngo. So if you want to jump on that and get the links that I put in there. I put in so far a book from Ed McCabe, who I've spoken to multiple times years and years ago. I should be checking in with him. But he knew of our clinic in Wisconsin, and he knew of my work doing oxygen therapy. And when he put out the book, it was a revolution for many people because, I mean, it was put back in the 80s, the first book, Oxygen Therapies. And Flood Your Body with Oxygen is the more current one. He hasn't updated it, but he did a very good job of pulling on references and practitioners that were doing these therapies. And it's like I was saying earlier, is that we were not given this information. We had to find it out. And it was by us having the desire to seek it out, we would never know just how valuable these things are. Now, with your experience with taking substances, you know, I like to guinea pig. You know, anything I give to my patients, I try myself. You know, I want to make sure that what I'm giving is doing what it says it's going to do.
You bet.
But as it turns out, the way that we see people come to us and we want to offer them, we have to be selective. You know, with gout, we'll pick on that because you mentioned it earlier. That's one condition that ails a lot of people. But even if you did take Shilajit, if you don't cut out the coffee, you're not going to make an environmental change that's going to make a difference. And I tried to speak to that the last session, the last interview I had with Ingrid, was that the whole point of us understanding how to bring about homeostasis is getting the cells to talk to each other. You know, if you're dehydrated, you're not going to be talking to each other. The right. communication of the cells is not going to be enhanced. So what we're finding, and Sam and I just recently ran an energy test. It's a lab in California, and the ionization was just remarkable. They're just amazing. Dr. Taylor.
Right, about the highest level that's been ever seen, actually, with the Shilajit. Yeah.
And Dr. Taylor was just amazed when we saw it. And now with the imprinting of the frequency that I'm putting in with the frequency of blood, okay, and if you've heard my previous interview, I spoke about Accutone. We take the Shilajit and we imprint it with this frequency that matches that of our blood. It's amazing. So now it changes that ion structure, and the test showed that showed up. But when you looked at it, it also evened out the signal. It was more of the direct line. So we can conclude, or one of the ways of concluding, that this particular form of it is that it's more directed towards the blood, because we're using the frequency that matches blood, and it's a match. It's like right. Taking a tuning fork and striking it, and taking an identical right. tuning fork and holding it right next to it, and without touching it, it starts to vibrate.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned something that was really important that actually the Shilajit studies also show, and that was talking about hydration, right? And most Shilajit users will directly find that after they use Shilajit for a while, they actually drink less water. But what I want to mention to the listeners is that, you know, water is tremendously important for oxygen transfer. You have to be hydrated. And what I found with Shilajit is that I could actually, you know, I could go, you know, typically you do a 100-mile ride and you're going to go through, let's say, 3 bottles of 24 ounces of water. And I generally do half that now. Okay. And yet my oxygen, so it's somewhere along the line, Shilajit also has a direct influence on how water is situated within your cells. And one of the studies alludes to the fact that Shilajit, you know, every living cell, whether you're a plant or a living animal, you really have to have structured water in your cells. That's all your cells work with.
Okay? Yes. And
Shilajit structures water. You can literally put a drop of Shilajit in a half a gallon of water, and you're going to have structured water. Okay? And so that, I believe, is another why it's such a tremendously effective homeopathic because of that fact. I mean, it just changes your water into structured water.
Can you boil it after it's been
I mean, it's amazing. I'm not sure about boiling it. You mean post structuring it? I don't know what the effect of that
well,
is.
Well, no, if you can structure it with one drop and a half a gallon of water, Can you boil the water afterwards and get the same effect?
I don't know.
Structure.
Don't know.
It's a curiosity.
Yeah, that's a curiosity. I'd have to go back to the Washington State researcher on that one. And I certainly haven't read it just yet, but that's a good question, though.
Yeah, but because we're trying to, as you might recall, Ingrid brought in her holy tea and also the Itera device, Itera Hertz device, and the Itera, using the scalar technology, can structure water as well. But obviously, if we're boiling the water to put in herbs, we want to know if the Shilajit is still retained.
Right. Right. Well, you know, yeah, I don't know about boiling herbs. You know,
we got a break. Sam, we got a break. Come right back. Questions for me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.immunizewisely.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Sam Pinnell on the other line with me. He's definitely an exciting person to talk to because he illustrates health. When you see somebody who is healthy at his age, and you can just tell when you're around people that you get energy from them. Okay, and I've seen so many times when people that will be in the presence of someone who's healthy, and it brings them up, and we want to do that. We want to offer ways of increasing your, not only the energy you have access to, but the way to direct it. Because that's half the feeling, is directing where you put your energy. Okay, so one of the things that we were covering just before the break is, adding different tools like the holy tea that Ingrid is using primarily for constipation and digestive health and detoxification, and her iTera Hertz device, which is an activator of sorts. It's got a number of other different applications. One that helps with pain, movement of microcirculation, which is really helpful. I've been using it myself, and I can attest to the fact that it is valid. We use heat therapy in Chinese medicine with infrared heat, and moxibustion, which is an herb that's mugwort, and it's used with acupuncture. It's sometimes put on the needle or hovered over the acupuncture point, and it burns in a cigar shape. There's other ways of doing that. But heat therapy's been used for just, centuries. I mean, it goes way back, and it's fundamental in Chinese medicine. And it's used to raise what is called qi, or energy, or ki in Japanese. But it is the way that we bring up energy. So I'm bringing this up because one of the things that comes up very often is how to raise your energy level, right? How to bring up, gosh, I'm so tired all the time. I'm exhausted. What's happening also to people with these breaking down of their immune system, okay, with exposure to some people with the vaccine that we really don't know all the ingredients in there, or we just have been told, that's the bottom line at the end of the day, what's in it. But the mRNA, when it reaches the DNA and resequences it, and this S protein is being produced, it dysregulates iron in the red blood cell, which means that if the iron leaves the HEMA and the oxygen leaves the HEMA, you've got a dangerous problem because you build up oxidative stress. Now, here we are dealing with a very, let's just say, with this iron dysregulation problem, a lot of pathways that it could cause dysfunction, diseases, just with the iron dysregulation, because most people, when they think of oxygen, they think of red, beautiful blood. You know, it comes out of your arteries. It's nice, red, beautiful blood. But what's being seen is the phlebotomists and nurses that are doing blood draws now are seeing blood that's coming out black. I mean, it's dark, dark color. And they're seeing this in hospitals. And it's alarming. I mean, it's absolutely, it's just mind-boggling that this is actually happening with so many people right now. So oxygenation of the blood, we have to remember it's a matter of regulating, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to this. It's proper balance of this of the oxygen in the system,
but I
so think that you don't lose.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I think, Dean, too, that one of the, if you look at, there's an awful lot of research that will point to fulvic acid as being one of the primary or biggest movers as far as the absorption of oxygen into the body. Okay, it literally makes it bioavailable to your bone marrow and stem cell for the blood formation, fulvic acid. It's a direct relationship. So I think that's one of the reasons why Shilajit is such a has an impact on the overall health of the body, because the oxygenation that Shilajit tackles goes through more than one branch.
Now, some of the studies that we sent out were the PubMed articles that we sent out on oxygenation. What I think I'm going to do for the audience is I'm going to include that in the chat and go, Immunize Wisely chat and go. I'll put it in that chat room so people can have access to that, the PubMed article. You've done a lot of research in this. What were some of the more impressive studies that you came across?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because it's the focal points of the study. A almost every one of them covers so many different areas. But when you get into the specifics, it's almost all about either detox or about oxygen transfer. Mm. And, you know, as you know, and I've heard you say it, and maybe I even learned it from you, but, you know, you can have huge lungs and suck in a lot of air and not get any oxygen into your cells.
Well, that's why they
Point, isn't it? And that's where something like a Shilajit comes into play, because it is absolutely geared toward getting oxygen into your cells. I mean, that's what it does. You know, it not only expands the ability for you to get oxygen into your blood, but then it also then gets that transfer into your cells, so you can actually use it for the metabolism that we need to be healthy.
Yes. Now that mm-hmm. oxygen being in the system doesn't mean that it's being used.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, and people who are really, I always go back to athletes because that's where I really came back from in a lot of my research. But so, you know, you'll have one athlete who has a VO2 max capability and he, you know, he's kicking out X amount of liters of air every minute and it's huge. And you'll have somebody who has, you know, 60% of what a top person has and yet performs better.
Yes, that's
right.
Yes.
And we know why that is. It's a direct relationship of the oxygen transfer into the metabolism system.
Now, I'm going to ask the audience if they have questions to either put it in the chat and go, or they call in. This is a good time for it with the last segments. The segment of the show, and just as I could start out by saying that I got the question that came up years and years ago on the whole oxygen topic was that what is the breathing exercises that I should do to help my oxygen intake? And
yes.
And do you want to expound a little bit on what you do and what you've learned as far as, you know, you're being an athlete, you naturally program yourself to increase your and regulate your inhalations and the rate right. at which you're breathing. So can you touch on that for a
Yeah, I certainly can. you know, there's a lot of breathing exercises you can do, but really primarily it's really understanding how it works, but typically, what I will do is breathing exercises start with breathing through your nose and breathing out through your nose. Okay, there's a misconception that, you know, that athletes will or people should breathe in through the nose and breathe out through the mouth and force that accelerated air out as fast as you can. And that can be true because, you know, because we will breathe through our mouth when we cannot get enough air through the nose. But the issue that happens when we breathe through the mouth, it's like when you have sleep apnea, you know, you're not getting enough regulated air, filtered air through your nose. And when I say filtered air, what that means is that when you breathe through your nose, there's a hyperacceleration of the airflow that goes into your lungs from your nose. Okay, it's a pressure mechanism and has a tremendous effect on that acceleration. Literally is faster than the speed of sound when you breathe through your nose and it hits your lungs and versus your mouth, which has no force to it. Okay. And so breathing that way and exercising that way and Dean, we should probably put something up so that they could actually have a protocol on that. But it's a tremendous difference what happens when you breathe properly. And it has a lot to do with the CO2 and the O2 mix that you bring into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens is that in the higher altitude you get, you know, the reason why Shilajit is used by the Sherpas is because it regulates CO2 toxicity that can happen at high altitudes. Because your ratio of CO2 and oxygen is just way, way off.
Yes.
You know, and you're pumping in and your CO2 is just skyrocketing relative to that. And so breathing through your nose, and you can also get benefit by breathing quickly out of your mouth. But typically speaking, what you want to do is breathe in as fast as you can through your nose and hold it You know, start out by holding it for about 10 seconds and then releasing it slowly through your nose. And most people, when they start out, they're going to find that they cannot get enough oxygen through their nose after holding it, and are going to have to breathe through their mouth. And that is telling of the fact that you have two issues. Number one, your diaphragm is not extending as well as it should or could. Okay, and number two is that when you have to breathe through your mouth like that, you're simply not absorbing the oxygen enough to sustain yourself through a breath. And so you can do a lot. There's a lot of stuff like that on the web that you can actually find that'll point you toward breathing exercises. But you'll find that if you have the inability to breathe through your nose, both in and out, while you're doing, let's say, at about 50-60% maximal, you have some work to do for your lungs.
Okay, we'll take a caller. I just wanted to let everyone know that I did put one book that I've used in the past of six simple breathing exercises.
Perfect.
And so it's in there, and so we could do that. And before the show's over, we're going to get the website so that Shilajit can be ordered for yourself. Okay, we'll take the first caller. Go ahead, please. Oh, Chance, please join the conversation. Thank you.
Yes, this is Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Dr. Dean. Hello, Sam. I got a couple of questions about oxygen supplements, and I'll get to that shortly. But Sam, I think I spoke to you a while back on Ingrid's show concerning, I was recommended organic humic fulvic acid by a registered nurse I know. She told me it'll detoxify me, it'll give me more energy, and she even told me I can give a couple of drops to my pets, and I'll turn it to super fur babies. Do you remember that call?
I do, Chance. I do remember that call, and I remember your name. Yes.
Yes, sir. So, and guys, my question is this now, concerning oxygen supplements, and I'd like your opinions, both of you guys. Now, I had lung surgery. I had a cancerous tumor in my lung 17 years ago. So I'm a little bit lung challenged. And when I heard about this COVID mystery disease, how it causes respiratory problems, what I did was I bought oxygen supplements. Now, I'm not going to mention the brand names, but I'm going to tell you what they are, and maybe you guys can give me your opinion. See, I'm concerned because I'm a little bit lung challenged, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, guys, the first one is stabilized oxygen. I bought the liquid form. What do you think of that for somebody with, quote-unquote, an impaired lung, I guess?
Yeah, I'll make a plug for that. I've been using stabilized oxygen and sodium and potassium solution, but the FDA got involved with the potassium version of it and made it impossible for the Aerobic Life Industries company to make this liquid sustained oxygen in liquid any longer. So they ended up stopping the production of it, but you
all
take.
Right, so, Dr. Dean, my question is: I'm sorry to interrupt you. My question is this: would it be good for me to take this if I have a breathing difficulty in situation?
What we used to do is give 10 to 15 drops. It depends on what its concentration is, and you have to refer to your product. But every 2 hours, we would have people that are compromised, like yourself. In that particular product, we would have them take every 2 hours, and it would bring the oxygen levels up to its highest ability to take on oxygen in that liquid form. In other words, it fizzled out after a couple hours. But I would give it to people that would go, for example, go skiing, and the kinds of things that I would hear from them. A friend of mine, I gave it to years ago. He goes, "Dr. Dean, it was so great that you gave me that liquid, that oxygen liquid stuff you put in the water, because I was skiing, and by the time I got to the end of the hill,
I wasn't half as tired as I used to be, and I did twice as many runs as I did before. So, I mean, what happens is you have oxygen available to you, your body doesn't work as hard. Okay, so there's a time and place for those things. And we also used to put it in things like milk. It would extend the shelf life past the expiration date a few days, 2 or 3 days. It was used in, and I'm not saying it can't be used for these purposes, but what you want to do is use oxygen in the water if you're using it as a maintenance.
Right.
And watch your results, because you want to not overdo it. Like Sam was pointing out, the carbon dioxide oxygen exchange, and you.
Go ahead. If I can ask you two more quick questions, because there's probably other people waiting to call in. Now, the second product, I'm not going to name the manufacturer. It's vitamin O, dietary supplement. Helps maintain a normal blood oxygen level. It's electrically activated water and sea salt. It's a liquid, just like the stabilized oxygen.
It's electrolysis. It's probably a product that's done by using electrolysis in there, and so there's a slight charge to it, and that's how they make their claim of making it bioavailable for the utilization of oxygen.
All right.
Yeah, but if that charge is sustainable.
But for somebody like me, it would be beneficial. Should I have a respiratory problem, you know, down the road?
Well, if your doctor says you need to increase your oxygen levels, then
well,
you'd want to
see a doctor since I haven't seen a doctor since I opened. this was 17 years ago, Dr. Dean. I had the cancer. You know, I did all the blood work for years, and I just stopped it. And now
To answer your question, as a general rule of thumb, we can only benefit. What I would do is test try it, because you can take it and then see your results after you've done it. And I mentioned to you that one of the protocols we gave was every 2 hours of 10 drops of that particular product, right? You have to refer to them. But go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm going to ask you one more. You might get a kick out of this one. I bought this in a catalog, okay? It's an aerosol can. It's called Boost Oxygen. Okay, I can't recall where I bought it from, but I bought these, you know, as a you know, a standby. Should I? It's 95% pure aviator's breathing oxygen. It says it's called Boost Oxygen, and it's an aerosol can. Now, the reason I bought these, yes, sir.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they even have oxygen bars that started to pop up about 20 years ago. But the magnesium supplements are many. One of them, and you're mentioning Boost Oxygen. I don't know what the ingredients are in there, but one of the more beneficial.
What
you want to do is email me. You'll email me, and then I'll respond.
I don't have email. This is why I call in. I apologize for that.
All I can say is just because we do have other callers, but I want to make sure that you are answered.
Let me add that, you know, when you take an oxygen like a Boost Oxygen or auxiliary oxygen and add it to it, remember, this is all temporary. I mean, you always have to have it, you know, and I always laugh at people who are buying that Boost and you'll see it at Walmart. You'll see it a bunch of different places. And they have it in oxygen bars. And, you know, here in Colorado, they have quite a few when you get to, like, Breckenridge and Vail and things like that at the higher altitudes. But, you know, you're not really taking care of yourself. I mean, you're not bringing your baseline health up a level at all, because you're simply, you know, replacing a temporary amount of oxygen for a temporary amount of time.
Well, see, the reason why I bought these products, I have 1.5 lungs, okay? And the reason why I bought these, if I should get whatever this mystery disease is, I could pull through it temporarily, you know, and not succumb to it.
But I'm not sure that taking more oxygen as a supplement is going to make any difference. What is going to make a difference, though, is that if you work on your base health and getting yourself balanced and retuned, And, you know, even with a lung and a half or half a lung or whatever you have, there's still a maximum opportunity to optimize what you have in your current condition, right? And necessarily taking temporary, you know, taking supplements that are simply temporary are not going to ever get you there. So I'm not telling you shouldn't have it, but I think there's a better way to approach this.
Thank you for taking the time to talk, and I appreciate it. Now I'll let you get on to your other callers now.
Take care, Chance. Thank you. Okay, and the next caller, name please. John in California. Okay, John in California.
Hi, gentlemen. Just two things. I stretch in my water, and I also drink coffee, and I noticed that it's more alkaline, so that's a good thing due to the stretch of water. So and of course that's boiling the water. So I don't know if you have a comment on that, but then I'll go on to my next question then.
Sam, do you want to take that?
I'm not sure where to go with that question, really.
Well, are you talking about acidity or alkalinity question?
Well, John? let me just interject here. You know, the stretching of the water, it brings down the acidity. So and that still maintains it even when I boil the water for the coffee. I just wanted to let you know that. That means
Thank
anything,
you.
But. The other question I have is, you mentioned increased oxygen to cells. What about the, of course, the silogit? What about the increased oxygen into your capillaries, for example?
Okay, before I forget, we got to tell the audience before the end of the show how to get the Shilajit here, Sam. And I'll answer both of those questions because your first question was about structuring. And then the capillaries is the second question with the Shilajit. So first, how do we get the Shilajit? What's the way to do that?
Well, the Colorado Shilajit site is actually literally called ColoradoShilajit.com. So you spell Colorado, and the Shilajit is Shilajit.com.
Is the website up to take order?
Oh, yeah, the website's up, and as a matter of fact, right now what I did for Ingrid is that if you go up there and you put in the code INGRI, INGRI-RBN, for the Shilajit, there's a 30% discount going on right now.
So great, I'm glad. Thank you very much. And I'm going to talk quickly to answer your question. Structuring water makes it so that it is taken up into the cells more quickly, if it's properly structured. And if you're... there are claims that people the taste of coffee changes when this water is structured, and that they can taste differences in water. I know personally that when the water is structured, it does taste differently. As far as the capillary action, the microcirculation, and from what we can see with studies, is improved with Shilajit, and that's a longer topic to talk about.
Right.
I'm sorry, we couldn't go into any more depth. But
and remember too, as far as structuring water, caller, that you know, if you go to Gerald Pollard's work at Washington State, he will tell you that basically any living plant can structure water simply by touching it. Okay, it's not as hard as what people think, and it's really important to know that.
We're gonna say thank you for the audience for listening. This has been Immunize Wisely. I'm Dr. Gene Lloyd. Sam Pinnell is my guest. And until next time,
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.